Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to episode 73 of The Gut Goddess Show. And this week we are talking about the seven habits that you might need to break up with, the things that you might need to stop doing, kick out of your life and out of your mindset so that you can live that energized, healthy, happy, comfortable, wonderful life that you want to live. But before we dive in, I want to let you know about two things. Number one being, have you left me a review? I had a review just last month from Vic, I can't say the rest of the name, I'm assuming it's Victoria, that said, fantastic podcast, material I have often found too sciencey or faddy, Kezia has made accessible, genuinely useful and interesting. I've learned new things. Thanks, Vic. This is an awesome review. Thank you so much. If you haven't left me a review, then I would be so grateful and happy if you did. Leaving a review is just a great way of saying, oh, Kezia, I really appreciate the time, energy, and money that you put into making this kind of weekly podcast. And it helps other people to find it. It helps me to get good guests on the show, all of that sort of stuff. So just head over to The Gut Goddess Show in your iTunes and click ratings and review. And then you'll see all these different all the different reviews. And then there'll be a button that says write a review. And you can write your review there. The second thing is I am doing a free training workshop this month on what to eat to beat IBS. So I did this workshop a couple of months ago. It was super popular. People found it really, really helpful. So I'm running it again. And it is what to eat to beat bloating and IBS. So if you are bloated all the friggin' time and you have no idea why and it's driving you mad, if you have IBS or you suspect you have IBS and it is ruining and ruling your life like it did with me, then this is for you. It's a free training workshop. It's going to be 60 minutes, jam-packed with practical, useful information. This isn't a kind of a free workshop, which basically means I waffle about myself the whole time. This is going to equip you with some of the practical actions that you can take immediately that are going to make a big difference when it comes to your body. So if you want to join me in that, head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org or .co.uk/WP/IBS or head to the link in my show notes. Or if you just head over to my website, you'll see a little pop-up at the bottom of the screen. I'll put a little thing at the side. You'll be able to find it there. So make sure you go. You have to sign up for this so that I know you're interested. And I would love to see you in there. Otherwise, let's get on with the show. So this week we are looking at the other side of the coin. So last week on episode 72, I looked at the daily and weekly routines and habits that I do that help me to stay energized, healthy, feel good. The key things that I do regularly that I feel really move the needle when it comes to my own well-being. And I thought actually this week what we needed to look at is that the opposite of that. What are some of the habits that I've needed to break up with and that I've needed to ditch and say see you later to? And what are some of the habits and routines that maybe you need to mindfully kick out of your life and break up with and say thank you for your time, but please leave? Because I see this a lot with my clients when I'm chatting to them, but also I know this so very well in my own life. There has been a lot of habits, a lot of ways of thinking, a lot of things that I used to do that I've had to stop doing in order for me to get this thing that is health, that is energy, that is a healthy digestion, that is a good mental well-being, that is happy, normal, balanced hormones, all of these things. So let's dive on in. So I've got these seven different habits. There is more than these seven that I could think of. But last week I shared with you seven daily and weekly habits. So I thought, you know, it's a nice bit of mirroring if I do seven this week. Don't know why. Seven's a magic number. So let's dive on in. Things that you and habits that you might need to break up with in order for you to reach your goal, in order for you to get to that in order for you to get to the life that you imagine, you know, I imagine that you probably have this ideal dream life and health that you think some point in the future, when I am a bit lighter, when I have more energy, when my hormones are better, when I'm not so bloated, when I have energy after work, then I will do that dance class, go and see my friends, I'll start running, I'll take up crocheting, I'll go to Qigong, I'll meditate. When I, you know, you, we all have these ideals of what the our future selves will look like. But ultimately, in order to get to, in order to create that, say, dream health, that future self of you, then something needs to change right now. And a lot of the time, we need to focus on adding in new things, adding in new foods. I talk about this all the time with people. It's not, you don't want to focus on what not to do. You don't want to focus on the foods you can't eat. You want to focus on eating more, but you do also need to focus on what things do you want to kind of, in this case, break up with, habits that you want to break up with. So one of the first things that you might need to break up with, and I am constantly breaking up with this one, is talking crap about yourself. Numero uno. Now this came, I was reminded of this just this weekend because I have needed to do this just this weekend. And I've done it, I've had to do it for the last 10 years as I've really been on my own health adventure in terms of healing from my chronic diarrhea and depression and hormonal imbalance and yeast overgrowth and gut infections and just poor mental health and anxiety and blah, 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 my whole story, which you can find back in the episodes. And talking crap about yourself is really easy to do. Most of us do it. It's very accepted and it can sometimes be done. We often do it in a way of like trying to be humble or trying to fit in. I'm only talking from my own experience. I might talk crap about myself if I'm in a group of other people. They're all talking crap about themselves. I just want to fit in. I don't want to be the person that's like, well, actually, I really don't want to use that negative language because it trains my neural pathways and I don't want to manifest that. You know, I'm all like, oh, yeah, I hate my love handles too. I want to fit in. And so there's loads of reasons that we can do it. But talking crap about yourself is one of the biggest ways to halter and hinder you getting to where you want to be. If you want to get in your own way when it comes to changing your dietary habits, healing your body, getting really, really healthy, sorting out your bloating and your energy, then talking crap about yourself every day is a great way to get nowhere, to be honest. So a good example of this was this weekend. Now, I've obviously had to go through this a lot when it comes to body image, my body, my weight, my, since having a baby, my stretch marks, my saggier boobs, my whatever else. But this weekend, a really nice, smaller example, but I think it's helpful, was around gardening. So in my dream self, so when I think about my future self, I'm like, I would, excuse me, love to grow vegetables. You know, I'm a holistic nutritionist. I love organic food. So there is no, like the highest quality food I think that you can make is food that you are in control of, that you have grown, that you know what's gone into it. It's why I want to keep chickens and maybe a goat one day. You know, that was one of the dreams. So I had this, my future self of going, being like, it's lunchtime. I'll just go and cut some lettuce, maybe gather some radishes, you know, maybe take a cucumber. I had dreams of me going and picking apples or plums from the tree and freezing them and just having my own kind of homegrown apples for the rest of the year, fresh apples. That was a dream I had. But the language that I had around growing things was always crap. I would always communicate to myself and with other people, often in a joking fashion. Oh, I'm terrible at keeping things alive. I'm not green fingered. I kill everything that I own. I can't keep any plants alive. I'm absolutely hopeless at gardening. I can't grow vegetables. I pay other people to do that for me. I'm never going to be able to do it. It's not possible for me. Blah, 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 blah. All of that crap. And this is, and you know, I get that wanting to garden is not like a huge issue in life, but this is my most recent example. And I just realized I have actually created with my words and my thinking the reality that I don't grow vegetables, I can't grow vegetables, and I'm not able to do that, have that dream. because I've created that. I've almost built the structure and set the foundations of my life with the words that I've been speaking about how I'm rubbish at keeping things alive. I'm not green fingered. Everything I put my hand to dies. I can't grow vegetables. I'm useless. And also, I don't have the time to garden. I don't have the time to think about this. I have a small child and I run a business that I'm trying to grow and I need to pay my bills with, and that can be super stressful. I don't have time to grow flipping lettuce. And also, I'm not good at it. I don't like to fail at things. I'll just fail at it. Blah, 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 blah. Now, I've also had this same conversation about my body, about my weight, about my teeth, about my skin. Even more recently, also my skin. I've noticed since having a baby, I feel like my face has just aged. I've always been really blessed with clear skin, which I'm really grateful for and I love about my body and I thank my body for. But I'm noticing the wrinkles, the lines, that aging process. And I've had to be really careful about what I say and communicate about my skin. And it's so important. If it's so easy just to spend your days talking and saying things about yourself that aren't exactly true or that aren't in line with the person that you are and the person that you want to be. And we often think that if we want to see things to change, if you say you want to, with me, if I want to see things changing with gardening, then I first need to buy some gardening tools and take that practical action. Whereas actually the first thing I needed to do this weekend was go, you know what? I can have fun with this. You know what? My grandma was an amazing gardener. My great grandma was an even better gardener. You know what? My lineage, everything that I've inherited is actually about being really green fingered. I am actually a really green fingered person, but I also, it's okay to be new at this and I get to play at doing this and it's okay to fail. So this weekend I was making a raised bed in the garden. I was de-weeding, getting stuff ready. It's okay to fail. I was also thinking it's okay to be late because with gardening, it's August. It's not the time to be sowing loads of stuff. I should have been doing that April, May. That was another excuse. Oh, I'm too late. There's no point. I've missed spring. There's no point in doing anything. No, that's a load of bullshit. I could actually do something now. I was limiting myself with the words that I was saying and the thoughts that I was thinking was I could have some fun and experiment and get curious and learn something right now. It might all go to absolute crap and everything I plant might die. That's the reality. It might happen. But it'll be a part of that learning process because I am going to be growing vegetables and I am green fingered. So that's a really simple action. Where in your life are you talking crap about yourself? Are you talking crap about yourself with your self-control? Oh, I just have no self-control around sugar. Such a sweet tooth. I just can't do anything about it. Well, it's not really true. You just kind of decide how much self-control you have. So you've just decided, you told yourself you don't have much self-control, therefore you don't. What if you change that script? I start to say, oh, I have loads of self-control around food and I make really good choices. Maybe you just start saying that. I know for myself, what I started to do around food was I had this mantra that I still use to this day. I use with my Nourish members. I still say it. If my own brain goes a little off kilter and it really anchors me into that healthy, intuitive relationship with food. And that is every meal and snack is an opportunity to love, nourish, and heal myself. And then when my brain goes off kilter, because like recently I was traveling to France and we were driving for like 2 days straight. So, you know, my eating whilst traveling was not optimal. You know, it's all based on motorway services and ferries and but that was okay. If my brain starts to spiral, I can be like, it's okay. Every meal and snack's an opportunity to heal, nourish, and love myself. So my next meal can be something really nourishing. So that's number one. Number two is, in terms of a habit you might need to break up with, is staying up later than you know is best for your body. Now, I'm not going to tell you a time that you should be going to bed because A, I'm not your freaking mother. And B, we are all different in terms of what bedtime suits us best. So there is some of you that naturally and genetically are more like evening wolves. You know, you follow that more wolf kind of, if you were an animal, you'd be hunting at night. You feel you're most creative and most productive at night. And actually you do much better if you maybe go to bed at 12 and wake up at 8. That's like your sweet spot for energy. But there'll be others of you that actually are pretty knackered all day and you're knackered right up until maybe 8 or 9 o'clock. And then you get this second wind where all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I'm ready to party. Let's clean this bathroom. Let's get some work done. Let's like binge watch The Good Fight on Amazon. Let's do whatever. And you end up staying up till maybe 12, but you wake up feeling absolutely knackered. Now, this is a subtle difference. So some of it is you need to listen to your body. But if you know you're not getting to bed earlier, then that's just a habit you need to break up with. I know for me, I am not a night wolf person. Anyone that knows me knows I just kind of go dramatically downhill from about 9 o'clock onwards. I like, if we're playing a board game, then the later it gets into the night, the more I'm just like checking out completely. I like to be in bed around 10 or 11, probably more 11 since having a baby, because I work in the evenings and I often don't finish working or with clients until about 10, and I need a good hour to wind down my nervous system before I can go to sleep. But anyway, between 10 and 11. And then I often will wake up 6, half 6, depending, or sometimes 7, like this morning, depending on my little one and when he decides to wake me up. But you need to figure out is, are you just pushing your body harder? And especially if you've got this whole second wind thing, you're actually exhausted all day, but then at 9 o'clock, you're like, ping, ready to go. And you stay up until like 12 or 1. That is really not good for your system. If naturally you are an evening person, that's fine. But then the counteractive of this is you need to stay in bed longer. You can't be that evening person going to bed at 12 or 1 and then waking up at 5:30 and 6. That does not work. And if you're a phase of life where you have to wake up at 5:30 or 6, then you have to go to bed earlier. It's just one of those things, unless you can get away with less sleep. And often if you are perfectly healthy, you can sometimes get away with less sleep if that sleep is high quality. And you'll often know that through tracking your sleep, your REM sleep, your deep sleep, those kinds of things. But for most of us, most clients I chat to actually need to go to bed earlier. And often they're staying up later because it's their only time to themselves, because maybe they're at work all day, they have kids all day, whatever it is. And it's that precious time to themselves, which I totally get. But equally, I would argue that there is other ways that you can find time for yourself that aren't as detrimental to your health. So that's tip number two, or habit number two that you might need to break up with. Number three, a habit you might need to break up with is a sugary breakfast. And maybe you wake up in the morning and your go-to breakfast is toast with jam, or it is some shop-bought granola with some sort of milk on it and fruit. I would argue that is just way too sugary. Or maybe you don't have breakfast at all, but by like 10 o'clock and you're in the office or you're at work, you then just grab whatever bar, granola, pastry, fruit, yogurt, whatever. Sugary breakfast. If you want to have more energy, if you want to lose weight, if you want to de-stress your body from a cellular level, if you want to prevent future disease, things like Alzheimer's, diabetes, heart issues, cancer, if you want to live and prevent things as well as feel good in the moment, in the day to day, then you need to break up with having a sugary breakfast. And what I mean by a sugary breakfast is obviously like, you know, your cereal and your jams, but it could also be just having fruit. If your breakfast is just fruit, that could be too sugary for your breakfast. Yes, it comes with fiber and other nutrients, but if you're feeling tired in the afternoon and that you, especially if you're having midnight snacks, like you get to 9 o'clock and you're like, oh, I'm so hungry, and you're raiding the fridge, it's probably because eating fruit for breakfast or what you're having for breakfast isn't optimal for your body. So breaking up with having a sugary breakfast and going for a breakfast that has more fat and protein in. So that might be like a green smoothie. You could sign up for my 10-day green smoothie challenge. It's a total bargain. It doesn't cost you very much. And this could revolutionize your breakfast. It might be having things like eggs, avocado, smoked salmon for breakfast instead. It might be you switch, you still have porridge, but you add a lot more protein through almond butter, chia seeds, a protein powder, and you have a lower sugar fruit like blueberries, strawberries, blackberries instead of tons and tons of other fruit. So breaking up with sugar for breakfast is habit number three. And in line with that, habit number four that you might need to break up with, especially if you are tired in the afternoon, especially if you have any stomach cramping, bloating, maybe diarrhea, if you have low iron, if you get hungry at night, if you're really starving by like 9, 10 o'clock at night, is this next habit, number 4, is drinking caffeine before food. If you wake up, go downstairs, have coffee, get ready, eat breakfast, you might need to break up with that habit, especially if you have those kind of symptoms that I was just sharing, the low energy, the hungry in the evening, cramping, bloating in your stomach, bowel issues, low iron. If you have any of those things, I would really encourage you to experiment, get curious, and just take a week where you actually have breakfast, again, something that's not too sugary, something with healthy fats and proteins and fibers in, before you have that caffeine. So if you wake up, roll downstairs, make a cup of tea, I would encourage you to wake up, roll downstairs, make a cup of water with lemon in, or just a herbal tea, then have breakfast, then have your cup of tea or coffee or whatever it is. Just switch that around and see if that makes a difference. Caffeine can inhibit iron absorption. It can upset our digestive system, especially if there's like that inherent weakness with kind of IBS, bloating stuff there. Some people's stomachs are irons of steel and they can deal with coffee, like an espresso on an empty stomach, fine. Most of us, it's going to cause us to go to the toilet and cause that kind of reaction in our bowels. It also can impact your blood sugar. Having caffeine on an empty stomach can make you kind of go on this blood sugar roller coaster, meaning that your sugar cravings throughout the rest of the day and your hunger for the rest of the day can be a little bit off. So experiment and break up with the habit of having caffeine on an empty stomach in the morning. The best thing you want to do in the morning is actually have some warm lemon water. That's a really great way to wake up your digestive system, support detoxification, naturally get your bowels going. So if you have coffee just to have a poo, basically, it's not a great sign of your gut motility and your gut health, but you can get that same effect from maybe a good amount of warm water and some lemon juice. That can kickstart, I don't know what that noise is for. No one's poo hopefully sounds like that. But anyway, that will kind of kickstart your daily bowel movement. Because FYI, if you're not having a poo every day, you're constipated. You want to be having one healthy poo as a minimum every day. I aim for currently 2 poos a day if I can, you know, just in case you're interested. And which I know that you were, dear listener. How often does Kezia poo? Anyway, so that is habit number 4. Number 5, a habit you might need to break up with. Now, this is maybe one of the most unpopular habits that I discuss with clients. And this might just be the kind of types of people that I work with. And this might relate to you and it might not. But you might need to break up with hardcore exercise, where you go for a run, you do MetaFit, you do CrossFit, you do whatever. An intense, exhausting exercise, maybe 5-6 times a week. And I used to do this and I had to break up with it and it was so hard because I love exercise, guys. I don't exercise now to like burn calories or get thin, because ultimately exercise, if you're only exercising to lose weight, the best thing you can do to lose weight is to sort out what you're eating. Exercise is like 10% of the pie, really, and what you're eating is 90% in terms of shifting body composition. Just so you know, you cannot exercise your way into a healthier, slimmer body. It just doesn't work unless you're exercising like 8 hours a day like an athlete. Then I suppose you could. But if you are doing hardcore exercise and you are feeling tired, drained, if you've got any health issues going on, so I had a client recently and she would do like a circuits kind of MetaFit class. She would run, she would maybe do yoga like once a week, but she probably did about 5 days a week, either running, MetaFit, quite intense, hardcore exercises. But she came to me and she was really struggling with her gut health. Was constipated a lot of the time, was really tired, had a busy job, and she was looking at maybe trying for a baby at some point in the future. She was around kind of 40-ish years of age, so she was aware she really needed to optimize that in terms of hormones, and she was just really struggling. She felt really tired. She felt like she ate pretty well, and she did. Like, she didn't come to me with like a horrendous... She ate. There was lots of great things in her diet. But one of the many things that we had to do with her, first thing we did was obviously support her gut health so that she was pooping every day. But then in terms of supporting her energy, one of the things was I said to her, you need to cut back on your exercise and focus on really like yoga and gentle walking in order to support your energy. Because if you're doing lots of hardcore exercise, but you're feeling tired, you've got health issues going on, your gut health isn't great, your hormones are maybe a bit wonky, then hardcore exercise regularly can actually be more of a drain and a stress to the body than a help. So it's really important if you are struggling with fatigue and you have done for a long time, but you keep on kind of forcing yourself to do exercise because you think it's good for you, again, get curious, run an experiment, take 21 days where instead of running or MetaFit, you maybe do a calm yoga class or you go for a good walk. Like you're not even walking briskly. You're just going for a walk for maybe half an hour, 40 minutes and see how you feel. I know for me, having had the kind of chronic fatigue and the adrenal issues and thyroid issues, for me, actually keeping an eye on my exercise is really, really important. Making sure I don't go too hardcore because I want to be that hardcore person that's doing like a woman's iron. Well, I don't really want to do an Iron Woman, to be fair. That's a bit intense. But my dream, one of my dreams for my future self is to do a triathlon. And I've had that dream for about 10 years. I nearly did one about 10 years ago and then I got injured and lots of things went downhill, but I am going to be doing a triathlon before I'm 40 and I'd like to do a couple of them. So I love that form, but I need to be really mindful of my energy. Okay, so that's habit number 5. Do you need to break up with hardcore energy and switch it to more low-key energy exercises for about 21 days and see how you feel? My client did that, and after a couple of weeks, she was feeling so much better. Now, this doesn't mean she's never going to run again. I said to her, you want to keep on doing this, so keep on doing your lower-key exercises until you almost feel like you have got excess energy, like you are almost going to bed being like, whoosh, I've got so much, what am I going to do with all this energy? That's when you maybe want to include the running and the MetaFit again. When, if you think about a bank account, your energy being a bank account, when your energy and your energy bank account is so in the black, is so healthy, so robust, then you can start making these big withdrawals from it, which is hardcore exercise. So going for a run, MetaFit, CrossFit is a big withdrawal from your energy bank account. So you need to make sure that you have enough in there. And what I find with most of the women I work with is they're actually, their bank account is like at zero. Their energy bank account is at zero, or maybe it's like plus 5, plus 10, but they're consistently taking these big withdrawals that's putting them in the red 3, 4, 5 times a week because they think, quote unquote, it's good for them. And so they keep on making these energy withdrawals and they keep on getting more and more in energy and nutritional debt. They end up in this energetic debt, basically, because they think it's good for them and they just push through. It's not. Just draw a line under that. It's not. Listen to your body. Okay, so that's habit number 5. Habit number 6 that you might need to break up with, and this is often if you have that history of dieting, diet clubs like me, maybe you started your health journey at Weight Watchers. I started mine at Slimming World when I was 11. Maybe you've done, I've got a client recently who did a lot of Light to Life, which is basically where it's horrendous. You just like don't eat. Whatever it is, if you have a dieting, yo-yoing on off type mentality, you probably unconsciously have the belief that eating less is best. That if you could just eat less for breakfast, eat less for lunch, then actually you would be doing good. You might also think that being hungry is an achievement. Going to bed hungry is an achievement. The afternoon, that sensation of hungry is productive for you. So just to put it simply, it's not. If you get really hungry, and being slightly hungry is fine, but like sometimes, in all honesty, I will go to bed and I maybe could eat something if it was in front of me, but I am not hungry. I'm fine. Like I'm not like, I need to eat something, otherwise I'm going to lie here like thinking about how hungry I am. So what we often can think that eating less for breakfast and eating less for lunch means we're being really quote unquote good. We're on plan, on track. So that's when people might just have a cup of tea and a banana for breakfast, or they might have this like piddly little salad for lunch because like, oh, I'm being healthy. But actually often that habit kicks you up the ass. It's like the polar opposite, because often what happens, you don't eat much for breakfast. You then maybe have the world's tiniest bowl of soup for lunch, which isn't like going to fill up a child. And then in the evening or before dinner, you are starving. you end up like eating an entire dinner while you're making dinner. And then by 9 o'clock in the evening, you are super hungry. Why? Because your body just naturally hasn't had enough energy and caloric intake throughout the day. Your blood sugars are imbalanced. So naturally your body is going to tell you to get more food in the evening. So eating less or thinking eating less is better is not always the case. Now, sure, there is lots of research around how reducing our energy intake and reducing our food intake and certain kind of fasting and intermittent fasting can be really, really helpful. And that I'm not saying that that's not, but generally thinking that not eating breakfast and not eating lunch is the best plan isn't actually. Often you want to do the opposite. You want to eat loads for breakfast, a good amount at lunch, and then less for dinner, or have your dinner really early at like 5 o'clock and then not eat for the rest of the day. That is where the most benefit I find with my female clients, slightly different for males, do really, really well. So that is habit number 6. And habit number 7, this is more of a mindset. And I have been working on this recently. And well, probably not recently, probably the last 2 years. And it has been really helpful from well-being perspective. And that is number 7, breaking up with the idea that every day needs to be the same, or expecting every day to be the same. Now, what I mean by this is, are you expecting every day you to have the same level of appetite? Are you expecting every day for you to feel the same? Are you expecting that every day you'll have the same level of energy, be able to do the same things, have the same capacity? Are you expecting that every day you will feel the same, have the same motivation, the same self-control, and that every day will just be samey, same, same, same? Yeah, hi, I'm Kezia. Today I am like a robot. I feel exactly the same as I did yesterday. That is a really common belief we have, just in terms of we live in a very masculine energy culture. Down with the patriarchy. Anyway, that's not what I'm going to talk about. We have a very masculine culture and masculine energy. So I don't mean masculine as agenda. Masculine energy is very linear. It's very like, well, if you imagine a graph and it just is that straight line going up, that would be a kind of linear approach. And also when we think about it from a male perspective, male's hormonal cycle is every 24 hours and it's consistent every 24 hours. So for a male, someone who has that male gender, they are actually having similar experiences every day. Their hormonal cycle is 24 hours. So they have that testosterone peak in the morning, then it will kind of drop and change and it'll reset every 24 hours, every 24 hours, every 24 hours. But us women are not like that. Our hormonal cycle is anywhere between 26 and 36 days. Our cycle is not 24 hours, it is a month. And with this, we have massive peaks and troughs with certain hormones. You know, when you're ovulating, your estrogen's all like, woo woo, just before your period. And when your period starts, your hormones drop like an anchor in the sea, like they plummet. If you are expecting yourself to have the same cravings, the same energy, be able to do the same throughout your cycle, throughout the month, every week, if you're expecting yourself to have the same energy this week as you did last week, you're probably setting yourself up for success, because I imagine whatever your expectations are, you can probably only achieve them 1 week in your cycle. And so for me, if I were to expect myself, so last week was, I was ovulating because I got my first period when I was on holiday in France after having Merlin. Woo woo! Honestly, I'm so excited to be back in that cycling, my menstrual cycle, having that back, because I love it. And I feel like my menstrual cycle is one of my superpowers. So ovulating last week, so I had a lot more energy. I ran 3 times, I did exercise, I was feeling good, I was productive with my business. I saw tons of clients last week, which was a perfect time to see tons of clients. But if I have that expectation for this week and next week, especially when I'll be just kind of before, probably, we'll see, before that bleeding part of my cycle, if I will feel like a total failure. If I expect me to have the same energy, the same exercise, the same emotional capacity, the same productivity, the same kind of woo, like the same libido as last week, next week, then I will feel like a complete and utter failure. Because I will be thinking that I should be able to do all these things as I did when my hormones were in a completely different place. Whereas the week before my periods, my hormones are completely different. And I need to be okay with that and not expect me to be running 3 times a week and doing loads of stuff and seeing lots of people and feeling super productive and feeling like, yeah, let's have sex all the time. No, if that's my expectation, I'm just going to constantly beat myself up. So expecting every day to be the same is one of the biggest habits that I've gotten out of in the last couple of years. And what this means is that you give yourself permission to listen to your body and feel the way that feels. So what does that look like? So for me, that looks like when I know I'm ovulating, which is often our peak energy, peak libido kind of time, I do the hardcore exercise. I see all the clients. I'll try and see lots of people. Had lots of play dates last week. But if I'm just about to start my period or like the first day of my period, I give myself a break. Especially a couple of days before my period, historically, I would often chill out. I might just do yoga. I often get a bit sad and I feel really lonely during that time. So I'll often give myself a bit of TLC and I'm not expecting myself to be super energetic. I also find that I'll eat tons of food probably the week before my period. And then when my period starts, the bleeding part of my cycle, I'm often not actually that hungry. So I give myself permission to not eat. You know, the habit is that when people start their period, women eat lots of chocolate. I don't really want to eat chocolate on the first day of my period. I'm not that bothered, but a couple of days beforehand, I do. So I give myself permission for that. I'm not expecting every day of my life to be the same. I'm not expecting my energy to be the same. I have learned that I am in a cycle and there is pros and cons to every part of the cycle. So I focus on all the benefits of each part. And even if you're not menstruating, if you're not in that cycle anymore, maybe you're postmenopausal, perimenopausal, you've had a hysterectomy, whatever, you can do this with the moon. So for the last, I've not had a period up until this last one for like 18 months. So I've been learning about the moon and following the moon cycle. So when it's full moon, that's the similar energy as that ovulation phase. New moon, when there's no moon in the sky, that's the same as that bleeding phase. There's a great book called Lunar Abundance that teaches all about that, that I've been loving. So even if you don't have a period, you are still a cyclical being. You still have your hormones still aren't steady every day, even if you're postmenopausal. So following the moon can be really, really helpful for that. Okay, so those are 7 habits that you might need to break up with. Now, I would encourage you, get out a bit of paper and do a little quiz. Go through this. So how many out of these 7 do you need to break up with? So let's recap. 1, talking crap with yourself. Is that a habit you need to break up with? Yes or no? 2, going to bed later than you know is good for you. Is that a habit you need to break up with? Yes or no? 3, a sugary breakfast. Again, is that a habit you need to break up with? Yes or no? I can always like hear you. Your sponsors, yes, no. 4, caffeine before food. Is that a habit you need to break up with? 5, hardcore exercise at the expense of your energy and joy, for want of a better word. Do you need to break up with that? Yes or no? Thinking less is better. Is that something you need to break up with? Yes or no? And expecting every day to be the same. Do you need to break up with that belief, that mindset? Yes or no? Now, you might have said yes to all of them, in which case, do one at a time. Don't think, oh my goodness, because I need to change my breakfast. I need to go to bed early. I need to stop doing hardcore exercise. I need to eat less. I need to change my... No. Go one at a time. Pick one thing that might be changing your breakfast. Do that. Do that for a couple of weeks. Then move on to the next one. Do this one at a time. And I honestly, if you break up with these habits, you are going to feel like you have so much energy, like you are succeeding and doing really well, that you're reaching your goals. You're going to feel like your tummy is in a happier place, your digestion slightly improved, and your relationship with your body and your food will be so much better. So I'd love to hear from you. I would love to know what habits you're going to need to break up with. So head over to Instagram or Facebook and message me. I make this podcast to help you, to serve you. So I want to connect with you and hear from you. So if you're on, you can direct message me on Instagram. You can message me on Facebook. Both of those handles, you just search for Supernaturally Healthy. I love chatting with you guys. So tell me, what habit are you going to break up with? Otherwise, I will see you for next week's episode. Sending you lots of love. Bye. So I'm just wanting to hop on here to tell you a little bit more about what it looks like to work with me. So in this episode, I mentioned that recent client that I had that came to me with constipation and low energy, and she was wanting to also think about preparing for pregnancy at a slightly older age. And we worked together over about 14 weeks. We got to the root cause of some of her issues and health things. We switched up, as we mentioned, the exercise. We made sure that she was pooping at least once a day. We helped support her liver. We got her nutrient and hormones ready for starting to try for a baby. All within 14 weeks, her energy had improved. She was pooping, no drama with poop. She was feeling really, really good. She felt like she knew what foods were good for her, what to eat and what foods maybe didn't serve her all that well. She supported her liver function and just saw so much improvement. She felt like her immune system was better and all around felt much better in just 14 weeks. Now that is the power of getting private, personalized one-to-one support. You could spend years trying to get those results on your own through Dr. Google, through reading various books and blogs, and even listening to different podcasts, because there's such power in knowing exactly what your body needs. So this client could have read, oh, well, constipation, I should have more fiber and eat some apricots, but that was not what her body needed. There was something much deeper going on that we needed to address. So if you're ready to see those results in 14 weeks, you're ready to invest in your health and get your energy back, get your belly back, feel like your hormones are working for you, not against you, and you're ready just to feel good in your clothes so that you can get on with living the rest of your life, then I would love you to get in touch with me. Just head over to the link in my show notes or to supernaturallyhealthy.co.uk and just click the work with me button there, and I'll have the different options of how you can get started and how you can get in touch. But I would love to work with you. I've rearranged some of my working hours now so that I can take on some more new clients, and I would love to work with you. There is payment plans available to make it super affordable. So don't worry about that, but head over to supernaturallyhealthy.co.uk, click the work with me button, book in your call with me, and we can chat soon. Sending you lots of love. Bye.